everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining me. Today's program is all about how to find your plus one online. And I have a wonderful guest who I'm very excited to talk to. Michelle G is a certified dating and relationship specialist, author, speaker, and CEO of MG International, a digital matchmaking service that focuses and uses the power of online dating to help you find meaningful and long-lasting relationships. Michelle G is also the author of the book, Relationship SOS, Seven Lifelines to Rescue Your Emotional Intimacy Now. Now, I first met Michelle last month at a conference in New York City. And the conference was for matchmakers, dating and relationship coaches, and relationship experts. And it was a wonderful conference. I met a lot of people who are doing really good work. And Michelle G was one of them. As soon as I met Michelle, it was instant compatibility. And I know you're going to love her energy. We are both science oriented. In other words, we both love reading and knowing research on relationships. And we're both passionate about relationships, both personally and professionally. And I know you're going to see what I mean with Michelle in just a minute. Also, I'm 100% intrigued and fascinated with Michelle's journey or story, because prior to becoming a certified relationship specialist, Michelle served in the United States Marine Corps for 13 years. Yes, 13 years in the role of international diplomacy and conflict resolution. And she even met her husband, Leo, when they both were in the Marines. So we have so much to discuss. Welcome to the program, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Terry, for having me. I'm super excited to be here and to serve your audience. And I know that you and I, we had such a great time, all of our conversations in New York. And ever since then, we've stayed in touch. So thank you for having me as a guest on your show.
Absolutely. And I too loved meeting and talking with you in New York City. So first, Michelle, before we get to your great work, which I'm totally impressed by, tell listeners, how did you go from being a Marine to being a relationship expert?
I get that question a lot. So,
well, you know, it doesn't seem as logical maybe as I would have hoped, but I know it's logical for you.
Yes. So I'll give you the short version. So I had a dream when I was a little girl. One of the things was my mom was she migrated here from Ecuador, and my mom's always been like, dream big, you can do everything. But she also comes from the mindset of, you're going to be a lawyer, you should be a doctor, you should be this, and you should do that. And so very young, she's like, go and do whatever you want within these capacities, within this realm. So I was watching, we didn't speak English at the house, we spoke Spanish. Right. And one of the ways that we would learn how to speak English was through C-SPAN. And we would watch C-SPAN and Sesame Street. And then one day there was this image of Ronald Reagan addressing to Congress. And I grabbed my mom and I said, Mom, I want to do that. And she's like, you want to be the first woman president? I'm like, yeah, doesn't those exist? Like, you know, I'm a kid. I'm 8 years old. I don't know any better. And so she's like, sure, go ahead, go for it. You can do it. And so my journey, everything I did up until that point, went through all academic school, everything was really focused on majoring in political science and becoming the first woman president. And along that journey, I found out that it looks very favorable that if you serve your country. So I was like, well, that's the next check in the block. Like, all right, who's the roughest and toughest and who's the cream of the crop? And I found the U.S. Marine Corps and I just was like, all right, that's it. Sign me up. And I literally left 10 days after high school.
Wow.
And yeah.
And wait, what did your mom say about that, by the way? Was she positive? Was she supportive?
Yeah, my mom was ecstatic. She was thrilled. She's always, you know, she's very grateful for coming here and being able to offer us a better life, that she was like, oh my God, you have my full blessing and support. So she was like, if this is what it's going to take for you to get to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, go for it. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. So it was great. It was good. But, you know, we have dreams and aspirations, and sometimes we have to be okay with the fact that what we think we should be doing isn't really what our purpose and where life is taking us. And that's kind of what happened to me. I joined the Marine Corps. I was an intelligence analyst, did reconnaissance and surveillance, and that was really my big part of my career, my focus. And then as I moved up in the ranks, I did a lot of different work with international diplomacy and conflict resolution, and worked with a lot of ambassadors and world leaders in different conflicts across the world. And I loved it. I loved the relationship aspect of it. I really loved how I was able to work with a group of people, bring them together in a room, and really talk things out and get to a place where everyone walked away not feeling like they lost something or like one person got more than the other, but instead like everyone came to a mutual beneficial agreement. And that was such a rewarding feeling throughout my career.
Wow. And of course, it went from there to being a relationship expert, you know. And it's so interesting, Michelle, because as you were talking about your journey, right, it's always changing and it's always growing. I mean, my students even ask me, you know, well, you know, how did you get to be where you are? And I always say, I'm still learning. I'm still growing.
Yes.
I don't know what I want to be when I grow up still.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
But that sounds like what you're saying, right? That as you do something, you learn something about yourself and what you like and your passion, and then you morph and change.
Yes. And that's exactly what happened. Not to mention there was a boy in the picture. So I was married once before. And really the ending of that marriage with this person who was also in the Marine Corps really, really opened up a door for me to really explore how is it that I'm having such great success in my career and building these amazing relationships and having these really high level conversations with these people. But I couldn't get my ex-husband to pick up the socks off the floor. I didn't get it at all. And so that was really truly the change, the point in my life where I made a decision of like, you know what? I want to explore why my relationship couldn't work and why I had so much success in my career, talking to people and communication and really bringing people together and resolving conflict, but I couldn't do it in my marriage. So that was the beginning of really my journey kind of going off to a fork, if you will.
Right. Now, so I know, I think we've talked about this, but do you think then relationship experts need to be good at their own relationship?
So my opinion is we are not good. Is such a, you know, good is such a word where it's like we put this cap on ourselves or the ceiling on ourselves. What I think that relationship experts really need to be great at is understanding their own dynamics within their relationship. Because I mean, even in my own marriage, I met my husband Leo, also in the Marine Corps, you know,
right,
through a
right.
different
who I met at the conference, right?
Yes. And he's amazing. And I'll tell you what, even though I work in the field of relationships, I help people find love online, I still have my own struggles within my relationship, because one thing that I've learned in my previous marriage and I brought forth in this marriage is you never stop growing and you never stop learning about one another and respect. respect is so crucial in a marriage, that it's a matter of respecting one another, respecting their point of views, and understanding that their life journey is so different than yours, even though you guys are together now as a couple. So I would say that relationship experts really need to pay attention to understanding the dynamics within their relationship, not necessarily really saying, okay, I have to be good at it, but know that you're always evolving and growing as an individual and as a couple.
So you're always learning, and you're learning from your work, you're learning from your clients, and that helps you understand not only others' relationships, but your own as well. And because I always get the question, Michelle, all the time, you know, how does being a relationship expert affect me and my marriage? And I've been married for 24 years, almost 25. Wow. And so how does it affect my marriage? And, you know, it's so interesting because that's what I say as well. My marriage is not perfect. Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, struggles and challenges as well, just like everyone. Mm-hmm. But what it allows me to do is bring what I do back and have a different eye to understand, like you said. And, you know, how do you think being a relationship expert then affects your marriage in the same way as you just said?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? There's sometimes things where I'll be honest. My husband sometimes will be like, he'll call me out and he'll be like, what would you tell a client right now? You know, like like when we're talking about something, we're having a disagreement. He's like, what would you say to a client? He's like, tell me what you would say to a client. And it's a gut check for me. He gut checked me, right?
Well, that's nicer. My husband says, stop being a therapist, Terry. Stop being a therapist. So similarly, right? We get checked on by our husbands.
Yeah, because I think they have this expectation of like, well, you're in this work, so you must have it figured out. And I'm like, babe, I still don't. I'm still learning. I'm always learning and growing and learning about you. And I learn from my clients and I learn from people. And, you know, it's all about learning. Don't ever stop learning. That would be one of my key points for everyone listening. Never stop learning.
Never stop learning. And as a relationship expert, you know, we can see others' relationships in a different light than when we see our own. It's more difficult when it's you and your relationship or your child or your parent. That's much more difficult. Now, okay, let's get to online dating.
Yes.
Studies show, and I know this is your expertise, studies show that more than 40 million Americans are turning to the internet to find love. But Michelle, I'm sure listeners are saying, what do you really believe? Do you really believe that people can find their plus one online?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do, Dr. Terry. And here's the reason why. We've seen it firsthand with our own clients. We've had the amazing opportunity to be able to match and help clients find their plus one online. And I think what's important to kind of help the listeners understand is look at online dating as a vehicle, as a tool for you to use. And when you have one tool, it requires for you to have other different tools to use in combination with it. You don't just use one tool to do one thing. Sometimes you have multiple tools to do different things. And I really believe that it's a matter of understanding how to use online dating and how to be safe, most importantly for us and for the clients that we serve as well.
Right. Absolutely. I like that idea as one tool to help you. One of the things I tell people too is that I think of it as express dating, so to speak, because the traditional dating, well, it really is in my head. And I'd love your reaction, because in my head, traditional dating, you go out, you date, you come back, you call, you don't call, you don't text. And then you wait and you go out again. Whereas online dating, you can talk to multiple people at once. Mm-hmm. You can look at several people at once and compare. And I hate that word, but look at different qualities and traits in others and make a decision in the confines of your own home in your pajamas. Yes. You know, from 2 a.m. You can do it at 2 a.m. in the morning or 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, I wouldn't recommend for you to be online dating at 2 a.m. I mean, that's a little creepy. You're sending messages. You could, but people will be like, why is this person up at 2 a.m. sending me a message?
Exactly. Why aren't they sleeping, right?
Yes.
So red flag. What are the best tips that you give your clients to approaching someone online? What are some best tips?
Yes. So some of the best tips for approaching someone online is, number one, you want to read their profile because you want to be able to find a specific interest that you both have, and then you can craft a message around that. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not copy and paste messages. Yes, there is a formula to sending messages, but no copy and pasting. Number one, it's lazy. And number two, it's really unpersonal.
Okay, so for example, let's say I'm looking and I see that someone has an interest in hiking in the mountains, just like I do. I love to do that. What would I write?
So first you want to see, is there a specific place that they refer to? Hiking, like maybe, I love San Diego, so I love hiking in La Jolla. And I would maybe refer something. When I online dated, I referred to a lot of different things. One of my things was also hiking. La Jolla, oh my God, if you haven't been there, you can say, hey, I've hiked in these areas and these places. Have you been here? Which leads me to my second tip is you always want to end a message with a question. Don't end it with, hey, I hope you write back to me or hope to hear from you soon. No, just go ahead and craft a message, talk about that specific interest, and end it with a question that they have to answer back.
I love that second tip. You know why? Because, Michelle, I think we're too concerned when we're dating that we're trying to sell ourselves. And so that some people make the mistake of just talking about themselves and they just keep talking about themselves.
Yes.
When people love questions. I want to talk about me as the other person. And you asking me a question means you might be interested. So I love that second tip. Ending with a question, listeners. Love it. Okay,
yes.
Next.
Third tip. This should go without saying, but let me go ahead and just say it, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's use proper grammar and punctuation.
Oh, yeah.
It's like going on a date. And you're on a date and all of a sudden someone puts their phone on the table, which you should never have your phone, but I've seen it done before. Someone brings out their phone for some reason. And all of a sudden you notice that person has a cracked screen. It's a turnoff. Okay. So write, be literate. Okay. Use grammar, use punctuation, and use a greeting as well. Don't just like, hey, hi. Come on, people, put a little bit more thought to it.
Right. I love that, Michelle. You know, I think we need to put our best foot forward when we meet someone. My daughter was telling me the other day, she's single, she's 23, and she was out on a first date, and she told me that the guy came in with sweatpants.
Oh, God.
And
no.
Right, now, is that the best foot forward? Now, you might love sweatpants. I love them too, right? But going out on a first date, you want to put your best face foot forward. So like you're suggesting, you know, write it with good grammar and organization and a greeting. I like that.
Yes. Those are my best tips for approaching someone. And you know what? I love sweatpants too, but I wouldn't wear them to a first date. I wouldn't be caught dead in sweatpants in a first date, much less a grocery store or anywhere else, because you never know who you're going to meet.
You don't, do you? I agree. Now, what are some red flags to look for when you're chatting with someone online or via text? Are there certain things that you think people should be looking for?
That is such a great question, Terry, because I have a list of them. So I'm going to keep them quick, short, and sweet.
Okay.
Number one, you want to make sure that you take a moment when you're talking to someone and get their information, social media profiles. Look for their social media profiles. Are they existent or non-existent? Do they only have a few friends? Is it a little sketchy? Look at their LinkedIn. You know, do they have a picture or not? That would be my first tip.
So do some research, right?
Do some research. Absolutely. Number two, there's this common, and I've seen it just in the last couple of months even more. Hey, my membership is expiring soon. Let's change over to this email. But when they write down the email, it could be a bit funky, meaning it'll spell out the at symbol as well, like atgmail.com or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's something to really look out for because it could be a phishing scam or someone trying to catfish you.
Okay, so that's a good one, listeners. So look at the email that you're given to see if it looks, you know, unusual. Very good.
Yes. Yes. Number three, if someone is talking to you online or through text, which, by the way, you shouldn't be doing that for a long period of time, but I'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. And they disappear for like a really long block of time. So basically, they'll respond to you like for the first 15 messages if you're going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, 6 hours later, they show back up. That might be a little bit of a red flag because they may either be busy, which does happen, but also if they're just continuously doing that type of behavior, it means that they may be hiding something from you.
Yes, you know, I tell my clients that all the time. Long periods of time mean something. People yes. are busy, right? But yes. you can always text or email, I'll get back to it or whatever. Love it. Good.
And my tip number four is pet names. If someone from the get-go starts calling you honey and sweetie and sweetheart and babe and sexy and, you know, the list goes on, right. that's an immediate red flag because that person does not respect boundaries. If I just barely met you online, how is it that I've given you already the permission to call me a pet name? I don't even know you.
Right. I like that. You know, I also think if someone professes their love too quickly,
yes.
That's not a good thing either. That's a red flag. Similarly, if they don't have boundaries or yes. they're not able to know that this is all a process.
Absolutely. And also they may be one of those people who may start, you know, sharing too quickly and talking about long-term plans and mm-hmm. it just, you get all wrapped up in that. And then you could find yourself in a sticky situation as well.
Yes, I totally agree. Any other tips in terms of red flags?
Yes. So my last and final tip is kind of a big one. And that is for you listeners out there, if a person is, overly flirtatious and sexual, they may not do that in the first couple of messages, but once you carry over to the phone or maybe you're text messaging and they start asking for inappropriate pics and things like that, you know, that's a huge red flag because it just, again, goes back to boundaries. And one of the things that I talk to clients about is really before we even start the whole online dating process is let's talk about what it is that you're looking for, what you're willing to be okay with, and what's huge boundaries for you, because that's important. They're important in relationships, and that's having clear clarity around your boundaries is what helps you evolve and grow in a relationship.
Very good. I like all of those tips about red flags, because I think that is the number one issue that people are concerned about. How mm-hmm. do I know? Is someone okay? Now, mm-hmm. I know, Michelle, we only have a few minutes left, and you did have a special offer for listeners to learn more about online dating. Do you want to say something about that?
Yes. So for those of you who are listening, I would love to give you my ultimate online dating guide. It'll go through how to set up your profile. It'll go through the best tips for online dating. And that is at bit.ly/online dating checklist. And that is bit.ly/online dating. And then checklist is CKLIST. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me at michellemore@michelleg.com.
Excellent, Michelle. Very good information. Now, at the end of all my interviews, I ask my guests a personal question so that we can really get to know someone better. Mm-hmm. And I always ask the same question. If you could invite someone to dinner, dead or alive, celebrity or relative, and we only have a few minutes, who would it be, Michelle? Who would you invite for dinner?
Oh, my God. It would have to be Princess Diana.
That. Now, why?
I grew up watching her and watching her philanthropic work throughout the world. And I just resonate with who she was and her mission and her purpose in life. And mm-hmm. I just feel that even though she was always in the spotlight and regardless of all the different other things that were going on, she really shows elegance and class and shows a big heart and reminds me that, you know, you can make an impact no matter where you are.
I love that. Very good. And she gave to so many others charity-wise as well.
Yeah.
So what a nice answer. And I really, we were able to know a little bit more about you, Michelle. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I love talking to you. You are doing such great work, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And I hope to see you again soon.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely will see each other very soon at another conference and work together. And listeners, the best way to connect with Michelle G is through her website at michellegee.com. You can also follow her on Facebook at Michelle G Fans. She's also on Twitter at Ask Michelle G. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website is Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.